Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Good Football Show. I am Patrick Daugherty, joined today by Mr. Denny Carter. We will be examining all the fallout from DeAndre Hopkins' six-game suspension before coming back to the draft from a zero RB perspective. Shocker that you guys are surprised that we're going to be talking about zero RB.
Stunned.
You know, when we talk about zero RB, though, we're just really talking about running back, which is what everyone wants to talk about. So, Mike, who are some rookies that, who might become zero RB targets? Some veterans that might be zeroed out now, so to speak. We also check in on the Panthers' quarterback situation, Baker Mayfield's latest travels. How do you say that? Where I wrote a word in my intro that I forgot.
Travails.
We're talking about Bakes, folks.
This is the problem with a well-read person, is that you come across words that you never hear, you just read.
I mean, this happens to me all the time. I mean, not to show off to people, but I mean, I read books. I've read some books. And currently reading a book about baseball, if you want to know how highfalutin my topics are.
Well, but didn't you just read one about the nuclear bomb? Or
yes, I read the book on Oppenheimer, the famous biography on Oppenheimer. And then this happened to me with Hamilton. I read the book, and like a month later, I found out, you know, it's becoming a Christopher Nolan film. So I felt like a Johnny come lately. Like, I don't want people to think I read the book because I heard about Christopher Nolan making a feature film out of it.
No, absolutely. And you can't see the movie now, by the way.
No, I can't, obviously, at all. And yeah, I read the Hamilton biography way back in the day, like at the same time as Lin-Manuel Miranda. And while I just digested the information and enjoyed the book, he made a global phenomenon play out of it.
Yeah.
And then when I told people I read the book, I didn't want them to think it was because of the play, because I'm just that kind of person. You know, I was raised in the 90s, like Gen X sellout. Like, I don't want to be thinking like I'm like people thinking I'm doing stuff because, you know, it's popular or something.
Oh, absolutely. I've never enjoyed anything that's popular. In fact, I make a point not to enjoy it. I intentionally don't enjoy things that are popular. I do have to admit something, though, and you may see it on my bookshelf behind here. I read the book to the, what was the Wicked Witch play on Broadway? Wicked. I read the book. I mean, after the play came.
Oh, there was a book?
There was a book.
Is this like storyboards from the play? Or no. Is the play is based on a book?
The book is good. I would dare say it's excellent. and I have a shame about that. But I have violated that rule once.
The most popular book I've ever read. So normally, too, I'm big on like, I either read the book or watch the film. Like, I don't do either. Cause like when I read the book, I don't want to be picturing. So this is another, I read like this big, huge biography on John Adams, like 10 or 12 years ago.
Oh God, I know what you're talking about. Oh,
it's from David McCullough. Amazing book. But then there was an HBO miniseries on it.
Yeah.
And had Paul Giamatti played John Adams.
Right.
And I wanted to give my grandfather the book for Christmas, but everywhere I went, they only had an updated cover that had Paul Giamatti as John Adams. And I'm like, I don't want my grandpa picturing John Adams as Paul Giamatti. So I went on this like long quest to find the original book cover.
Right.
And I did originally find it. But like, so like, I loved the movie No Country for Old Men, as every dad should. Yeah. Like, I'll never read the book. Oh, I saw you grimace.
I don't like the Coen brothers.
What, really?
Yeah, I'm not into
They make some real stinkers, I will say. Occasionally they get too far up there. their own. I believe the word is arse.
Arse. Yes.
Hail Caesar was awful.
Oh,
like, real awful.
It's terrible.
truly awful.
I mean, look, There Will Be Blood came out at the same time as No Country, right?
It did.
And I saw both, obviously, and I thought, well, one is great and the other is fine. And There Will Be Blood being the greatest movie ever made.
Well, this is so funny. So when I saw There Will Be Blood the first time, I thought that maybe it was the greatest film ever made. Over the next 2 years, I underwent a transformation where I became a No Country for Old Men, because that was like a huge debate, you know, the little like hipster world, and which film was better. And I eventually decided that it was No Country for Old Men.
Oh man, I'm upset.
Fargo's not good. I love the Coen brothers. I thought Fargo was terrible.
I thought it was fine. It was like, it was okay. It was not memorable, but apparently it's the greatest thing ever made.
I thought it was like a really, really mean spirited send up.
Yes.
It was way too mean spirited. And occasionally they usually successfully toe the line between like send up and like character study. But I thought Fargo, we're talking about a 26 year old movie all the Zoomers love. So
that's why people tuned in today to hear our analysis of Coen Brothers movies from 26 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So, but Fargo's bad. I was going to say a bunch of books, movies. Oh, this is the most popular book I ever read was The Da Vinci Code. And that was, so I was going to say, that was where my point was going. I don't normally like to see both, but back in the day, my now wife wanted to see The Da Vinci Code movie. Like, I really didn't want to. And for some reason, I was like, I'm just going to read this dumb book. I read it in like 2 days, and you know, it was actually a pretty good pop boiler. You got to give him props. And then the movie, like Tom Hanks, punches like an albino guy or something. It's a really weird movie. It was bad.
The only thing I know about that movie or book is that some albino guy is whipping himself on the back. That's the only thing I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget what his name is. He's the bad guy, I think. And so eventually though, they do find the kidnappers and they free Leonardo da Vinci. If you're wondering what it's about.
Who I is think that's Jesus' what it's about. Brother.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
Okay.
And he's played by Paul Giamatti in the movie. So yeah, real bad movie, to be honest. Right. And stunning Monday news that clarified some draft week machinations, another word that got to be careful with. DeAndre Hopkins has been suspended 6 games for violating the league's policy on performance enhancing. How do you say that word, Denny? Enhancing? I've never seen this word before.
Enhancing.
Performance-enhancing substances. Denny, what is the fallout going to be in Arizona Skill Corps? Is this kind of the end of DeAndre Hopkins as we know it, who is already trending in the wrong direction with second-half slump in 2020, a big second-half slump in injury in 2021? Is his body breaking down? Is he taking PEDs because his body's breaking down? Let's just start with the fallout, though, I guess. No, actually, let's start with DeAndre Hopkins. Is this the end of DeAndre Hopkins as we know it?
Yes. I think that's the short answer is yes. He released a statement Tuesday morning where he dressed up in a hot dog and he said, "We're going to get to the bottom of this." Yes. I mean, seriously, he actually used those words. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. So we're hoping.
He's trying to find the guy who did this.
He is trying to find the guy. Hopefully he does. But yes, last year, if you drafted Hopkins in the second round, like I did in several leagues, you felt good. And you felt good because of the target domination, just the sheer domination, right? But then you started to see his lines in the early season. They were fine, but they were touchdown dependent. And that has never been the case with Hopkins. Like, there was a time when DeAndre Hopkins didn't score touchdowns at all. He just saw 18 targets a game. Caught 14 of them for 150 yards and scored a ton of PPR points. He was skating by on touchdown on unsustainable touchdown production. Then he got hurt. Now this, he hasn't played since early December. He's now not going to play until, what is it, November or late October?
October, but
yeah, late October. And so yeah, I think that there's like should be wild concern about Hopkins' place in this offense. I said on the podcast that we did on Sunday with Kyle and Corain that
like you name dropping.
I know both those guys. They return my texts sometimes. It's amazing. I thought that Marquise Brown had a pretty good shot of usurping Hopkins as the wide receiver one in Arizona, and now it has happened.
And that's when you didn't know. I mean, in post-production, we added a laugh track when you said that. And now, who's laughing now?
Which was mean. I thought that was mean-spirited.
Yeah. Yeah, so like DeAndre, So now last year, everyone was kind of just assuming going into the season, it was still going to be like Mr. Compiling DeAndre Hopkins, because the way he got off to that start with the Cardinals were, I'm looking at it now, he caught 32 balls over his first three games as an Arizona Cardinal in 2020. So yeah. that kind of remained like the indelible image. And he had two huge games in December of 2020, but actually over his final seven games in 2020, he only cleared 60 yards twice. And he only cleared 55 yards twice in the final seven games. I just remember kind of thinking, like, yeah, what's going on with DeAndre Hopkins? Because a lot of those games, he had 13 targets, only turned him into 52 yards, 12 targets into 48, 10 into 35. I was kind of, what is going on with DeAndre Hopkins?
Right.
And then, like, last year, you know, that wasn't a fluke. Like, that was kind of like the new norm with him last year, like you said, and like living off touchdowns, which, again, like you said, he had never done in his entire career. So like my antenna was already up on DeAndre. And so like, I don't think if you like, I just, my point is like, I don't think people are going to be overreacting if they say like, yeah, this is a huge deal. Like DeAndre, we can probably just never regard DeAndre Hopkins as the same. Cause like the suspension isn't like occurring in a vacuum. It's occurring at like basically a year and a half of declining production.
Right.
Something I said on Sunday. Yeah. He's always been like a guy so reliant on like hand fighting. And just like beating corners one-on-one and like winning in tight spaces. And he's not a huge guy. He's like 6'1". And those guys, a lot of times when they take a beating, they tend to age poorly. So I was just already worried about that. And yeah, that coupled with the suspension is, I do think it's not an overreaction to say like, we should never expect the same DeAndre Hopkins again.
Yeah. When you talk about his redraft ADP, I mean, right now, as we speak, it's in the middle of the third round in 12 team leagues. Obviously that's not going to hold and for good reason. But I mean, I'm looking at guys, you know, going in the fourth and fifth round, and I'm going to need DeAndre Hopkins to drop below those guys if I'm going to have interest in drafting him this year. I think, you know, just looking at the board right now, you get to the sixth round with like, oh man, like Devontae Smith and Brandon Ayuk, you know, I guess you take Hopkins because of the suspension. Now suspension, we're talking different, but you know, you lose this a huge chunk of the season. So I think in that range would make some sense, you know, and maybe he could be a value there. But I think this really just points to Marquise Brown being like a potential target hog. He was a target hog when Lamar Jackson was healthy last year in Baltimore.
So yeah, that'll be where I begin with Marquise Brown. I'll say how high for Marquise Brown, not in the sense of like ADP, but like, what do you think is like a realistic fantasy finish for Marquise Brown? So at the end of next season, we're saying Marquise Brown is the wide receiver, you know, what by like average PPR points. What do you think like a realistic finish for Marquise Brown is in 2022?
I mean, I guess I'm bullish. You know, I'm trying not to overstate it too much, but like top 24 for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's where, again, we're not like being super bold there, but now, so Marquise Brown had a shot to be top 24 even with a healthy every week DeAndre Hopkins. I was already kind of at an over under of wide receiver 24 when I thought Hopkins was going to be playing, because this was an offense with a lot of receiver targets last year, a lot of now missing receiver targets in AJ Green and Christian Kirk. So I didn't think wide receiver 24 is insane. Now it's like, even if we kind of get like the same old Marquise Brown, like the ups and downs, the drop touchdowns, the big plays 1 week, the falling off next week, it's just almost impossible to see. He's probably a top 20 wide receiver at this point.
Yeah, I mean, okay, if I'm going to be a little bit bolder, I'm going to say I'm happily drafting him as a top 20 receiver. And I think that he has upside for more. Now, this Arizona offense doesn't exactly attack you downfield. No. We all know that, right? Which is an issue. But Marquise Brown didn't thrive on that last year either. You know, he caught a lot of short area targets and kind of transformed into a more steady, I want to say boring, fantasy producer than the wild ups and downs that we saw from 2019 and 2020.
What would you say we'd rather have with Marquise Brown? Compiling underneath Marquise Brown, or like the Cardinals trying to use him as like a true deep threat and maybe leading to some of that boom or bust? Which role do you think we would rather see from Marquise Brown?
Well, I mean, ideally both. But if I had to choose one, I would take the former. I would take the underneath stuff and see if he can turn that into run after the catch production because, you know, he is fast. And also it's like, you know, it's steadier, more reliable. I know you don't get those high value targets downfield. But you know, if the Cardinals are smart and they're not, Marquise Brown will get some downfield shots from Kyler Murray, who is one of the three best deep ball throwers in the league per expected points added on deep balls.
And he's had a really hard time showing it because he just hasn't ever really had AJ Green, you know, whatever's going on with AJ Green last year with the Cardinals. He had the AJ Green downfield weirdness. He had the Christian Kirk downfield weirdness where it never just really, he just never really put it all together down the field or in any area of the field. Now he's making $17 million a year. And DeAndre Hopkins, we made a lot of like highlight reel down plays down the field with.
Yeah.
But as you know, like anytime you go back and look at those highlights, it's like with a DB like draped all over right. DeAndre Hopkins. And I'm kind of wondering like if Marquise Brown is like the best deep receiver Kyler Murray's ever had and isn't going in his fourth year where someone who might actually separate deep. Yeah. And he's not going to have to throw it up and tell DeAndre like, hey, I need you to like win a hand fight with this guy. And I think there's a chance. Yeah, the Cardinals offense, man. Like the second the Cardinals get hit in the mouth, basically, anytime anything goes off schedule with their offense,
yeah,
they just go fully horizontal. Like it would be nice to actually create a vertical element and stick with it. And Marquise Brown is certainly capable of that.
And the locker room element between him and Kyler Murray, who, you know, they played together in college, very productive together. You know, there's no way to quantify that. And you certainly shouldn't say, well, I'm drafting Marquise Brown because he played with Kyler Murray. Don't do that. But it is something I think about. I will say that.
And with so Lamar Jackson, too, well, I'll close the book on this one. Made a lot of big plays down the field, Marquise Brown. But I feel like those had to be like designed and like schemed kind of like a lot of like Lamar Jackson's big plays down the field. I feel like are a lot of times a result of like scheme and like, you know, someone was like running like wide open. Whereas like Kyler Murray, I think like he can throw downfield bombs. They don't have to be like schemed and designed necessarily. And I think that could be a big boon for Marquise Brown. I mean, Denny, is it going to be Rondale Moore season or is this something where we kind of need to give up the ghost already where, I don't know, is he just too small? Like the team clearly didn't have a ton of faith in him last year. Are you bullish at all on Rondale Moore after this?
I mean, they had like a receiver injury apocalypse last year and Moore still didn't get fed. So
very concerning.
I don't know. You know, did I want him to succeed? I did because he's an analytics darling. But it seems like analytics darlings, you know, sometimes don't actually translate on the field, which is an issue that I don't want to talk about.
Ever.
But, you know,
it would be nice. Sorry, our weekly appeal to analytics to work ever in the NFL.
it would be nice if one guy that the analytics community likes succeeded. That would be awesome.
If one guy the analytics community actually liked didn't get drafted on day three by the Bucks and then cut within 2 years.
That, right.
That would be nice.
We're hoping that happens before 2040. we're gonna cross our fingers. No, I don't have any hope that Rondale Moore becomes like a consistent, reliable fantasy producer, even in this Hopkins-less offense. You know, I think it probably, you know, we haven't talked about James Conner. We talked about him on the Sunday show about, you know, him being a winner of the draft. You know, maybe it leads to more touches for James Conner, you know, out of the backfield. I'm out on Moore.
Yeah, it's quite possible. And James Conner, by the way, Keontae Ingram, we're not going to talk about him in our zero RB segment, but he's an interesting sixth rounder in the Cardinals backfield to keep an eye on in your rookie drafts. And I buy into being concerned about Rondale Moore's rookie year. Cause I mean, he wouldn't be the first receiver to have a rough rookie year and then come out and still be good. But the fact that they had the wide receiver apocalypse, the fact that his game is like designed touches and like screen touches, and it still didn't happen. Like, it's not the kind of stuff. Yeah. That takes years to learn. Like he was supposed to be that kind of player, like the instant offense, like the touches in a can stuff, basically. And it just never happened.
Yeah.
And it was very, very concerning. For a guy who's literally 5'7", like it was pretty concerning.
Yeah. You know, the fact that we can kind of ignore that sometimes, like 5'7", we're going to really put our eggs in the 5'7" basket. Makes me a little iffy on the evaluation there.
I mean, I don't know. You might not have a strong opinion on this yet, but does the Cardinals, I believe, did they use their first pick I believe, on Trey McBride. I think their first pick of draft weekend was on Trey McBride in the second round. Pass catching tight end. Does this dampen our faith in Zach Ertz at all? Or is this just kind of maybe they used a lot of tight ends last year, just more two tight end sets. I mean, they do need more. They just needed places to funnel targets, basically. Do you think Trey McBride will kind of curb Zach Ertz's tight end one appeal at all?
I want to say no, because first of all, there's the difficulty of a tight end transitioning from college to the NFL is well documented. Like, hardly anyone escapes that. Even Kyle Pitts struggled, and he had an overall fine season. I'm not saying that, but I think his rookie year is going to pale in comparison to his future years. And because of that experience and everything. So no, I'm not worried. And the Cardinals love Zach Ertz. He fits what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do, which is to gain 6 to 7 yards per play. And that's it. And he's great at catching it and falling down. And, you know, that's all they want. So I'm not too worried about Ertz.
Yeah, he's millennial Jason Witten at this point. And there are worse things to be. Sure. And yeah, they need targets. And so, yeah, I'm not too concerned about it either. I mean, who are the other receivers on the Cardinals? Do you know?
There's a guy that Kingsbury brought from his college days to the team. I forget his name now. I had him in DFS like every week for a while.
Oh yeah, he's bad. Who is that guy?
Yeah, you hated him.
What was his name? We do this for a living. The guy. Oh yeah, Antoine Wesley.
Yeah, Antoine Wesley. Yeah. Well, anyway, there's not much there.
So I mean, Andy Isabella breakout, right?
Well, they're still trying to deal Isabella, another analytics guy, unfortunately. So we're hoping he lands in New England.
We just want it to work once. We say again, we are analytics supporters. We are not haters. We just want it to work once.
And we're now screaming one time.
Yeah, this one time. Brandon Staley, convert 1 fourth down, please. Just we need you to convert a single fourth down in 2022. So yeah, end of the day, we are concerned about DeAndre Hopkins, Marquise Brown. I mean, he'd have to be a pretty bad player not to be a top 20 wide receiver, basically. I think is where we're settled on this debate. Denny, no team has ever been down worse at a position than the Panthers are at quarterback. Rather than acquiring a veteran or using a first round pick to address the issue, they have supplemented Sam Darnold with third rounder Matt Corral. I'll just begin by asking, who do we think starts more games for the Panthers in 2022, Sam Darnold or Matt Corral?
I mean, I'll go with, I want to go with Darnold because the team seems like it's leaning that way, you know? Also, they've made pretty big improvements to the offensive line, particularly pass blocking. And that's something that absolutely doomed both Darnold and Cam Newton last year, was their complete inability to protect the quarterback at any situation, whether it was, you know, an obvious pass situation or not. They couldn't protect the passer. So I think with that, Darnold has a chance to establish himself. But man, I mean, who would be shocked if the rookie comes in and starts 8, 9, 10 games? You know,
I do wonder too if some of the protection issues last year just were like the classic quarterback, where like the defense isn't respecting Sam Darnold down the field. They're obviously not respecting Cam Newton down the field since his arm was just totally gone.
Yeah.
And I don't think even the Panthers could really rationalize more than a couple of games from Sam Darnold. And I actually do think it'll be Matt Corral who, I mean, this is where like I come in as like a draft amateur. Like I would have straight up just rather drafted Matt Corral than Kenny Pickett. I thought like he kind of like did everything Kenny Pickett did, but like just a little bit faster. I feel like he's just like the slightly better version of Kenny Pickett, like across the board. Like I like his arm better. Like he doesn't panic in the pocket. He kind of has like a sense of daring do. Look it up.
Daring do.
Daring do. He has a sense of daring do. He's like an adventurous player. Kind of got him into trouble. He takes some like really big hits. Apparently, you know, supposedly Lane Kiffin's offense right now isn't like very complex, but I just liked his overall demeanor. I liked his physical traits, and like, no team, like Sam Darnold's not going to be getting the benefit of the doubt. Like, he's like in the classic, like he can't even have one bad game, basically.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. You talked me out of it. You're right. The Corral's going to start a bunch of games. Yeah. per APA, only Zach Wilson was worse than Darnold last year among starters. And by the way, Zach Wilson was considerably worse. But
so you would never know that from the tenor of our conversations with Jets fans on Twitter.
Oh, you wouldn't. Somehow they have a lot. They have a lot of faith in Zach Wilson, despite an utterly disastrous rookie season. There, I've looked.
I mean,
okay. You said you said recently that I never stop writing. Well, I wanted to write a piece on a glimmer of hope for both Zach Wilson, well, all three rookies from Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, and Trevor Lawrence. I can't find any.
I didn't think that was going to be the reveal.
And listen, I, you know me, if I find something, I can write on it, right?
You'll cling.
Right. I will grab on for dear life and ride it out for 1,000 words and publish it, right? I can't, there's nothing there.
It's interesting. So Zach Wilson, I mean, that's understand. I mean, Zach Wilson, though, to be totally like on the record, I have not closed the book on Zach Wilson. It's just, it was a really, really tough scene. We'll just see. Like, it's just way too early. I guess I saw a lot more Justin Fields last year for whatever, partly because the Bears are like always, like, I just basically saw like every Bears game. Where
they had 11 primetime games.
Yeah. I think I probably only saw like half the Panthers games, and I saw like almost probably literally 13 or 14 Bears games.
Oh, and that's terrible.
Just it was hard to find reasons for hope with Justin Fields. Like, I know we pinned it all on Matt Nagy, but he wasn't good at all. He just wasn't good.
No, and there was never there. You know, I remember there was a second half against Pittsburgh late in the season.
Oof, man, that was bad.
Where, well, or was it the first one of those halves? He was okay, and I just remember thinking, okay, well, this could be it, and it wasn't.
I think maybe that was a Monday night game.
Yeah.
Where he did have a really good half, and then I think he like sabotaged the game in the second half, basically.
Yeah.
Because I think that was a Monday night. Yeah, it was a Monday night game. Oh yeah, that was he averaged 10 yards per attempt, but he only completed 17 passes. They of course lost. That was the game. I think after halftime, he was essentially like point shaving. I think maybe I'm just making up facts as I go along, as evidenced by our very fuzzy memories of this game. The game where he was amazing, not awful.
Right. Right.
But
I'll tell you, he looked good in the preseason. You got to give it to him.
Yeah, you do have to hand it to him there. Man. And, you know, we kind of beat this to death on the Sunday show. The Bears are clearly just like, Justin, if you want to be good, it's a free country. You go ahead and do that. But we're not going to help you be good. And if you're good, that's really good news for us. If you're not good, we are a new front office and we're looking for a new quarterback.
That's right. Yeah, look, the speech is free, Justin. So you go ahead and you give it your best go. We're not going to help you at all.
We're not going to censor you. We're not going to help you. That's just like kind of the free market. We're not going to censor you, but we're not going to help you. Does a landing spot still exist for Baker Mayfield? Oof. Like, is it kind of like the Seahawks or nowhere for Baker Mayfield? Or if it was going to be the Seahawks, would he already be on the Seahawks?
Well, yeah, I think that kind of sums it up. Like, why not? Why, if the Seahawks are the only team where he fits, why haven't they pulled the trigger and taken him on? I mean, I guess the answer is because he was so atrocious in 2021. But, you know, you don't have to look far back to see that he can be a viable starting quarterback. And that's not saying much, honestly, you know, but he can be, and he would be an improvement over presumed week one starter Geno Smith.
Yeah,
I believe
they're the one team where he would just be like clearly like the best quarterback on the roster. Like they need, I guess maybe the answer to why haven't they done it yet is, I guess it had already become clear. Maybe they kind of had a sense how the draft was going to shake out, that they were already kind of the only destination, and like they have nothing to gain. Like they have everything to gain just by waiting, by smoking the Browns out, basically. Yeah. Right. And I mean, I guess that's not true. I guess the Panthers were legitimately in the mix, but I mean, the Seahawks are his only shot. And the only other place, like maybe Houston, where I do think they would start Davis Mills anyway,
they
like could use a legit backup. A weird one, I think, is maybe the Saints, who like he could go there and be a backup. Like he could be sold to him. Like, listen, you're not going to start.
Yeah.
But, you know, like this is the Saints where we've added some weapons, like, just sit tight behind Jameis Winston. If he fails, which he's been known to do, you'll get to play.
Well, he could pull it, he could go full Trubisky, right? And just and sit out for a year. Everybody forgets that he had a really bad season in 2021, and then he's starting for, or he has four teams interested in his services, like Trubisky did this season, this offseason.
I'm really haunted by jumping the gun on the Justin Fields and just assuming he was bad. I'm gonna dig into this Bears Steelers game after the podcast.
We're gonna need some film analysis.
We are gonna need some film analysis, and we're gonna do that during this short break. We'll be right.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I love the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Back. Just a reminder, if you don't have the NBC Sports Predictor app powered by PointsBet, to go download it now. The contests are free and easy to play, and you have a shot to win thousands of dollars by predicting what will happen in the NBA playoffs, the Premier League, on the PGA Tour, and the NASCAR circuit. Denny, I wrote an intro for this. I'm not even going to say it. I was going to say, Denny, I scream, you scream, we all scream for zero RB. I still just said it.
I think I need a new co-host actually.
Yeah. I mean, my God, I am. Don't let the lawyers hear this.
We definitely don't all scream for, in fact, zero RB people are screamed at.
Yeah, that's true. Very good point. But with the draft and free agency having come and gone, we finally have a picture of what the running back landscape is going to look like. I'm just going to ask you about some backfields and their zero RB-ness, but we're going to start with you and some rookies who you think might be fits for zero RB builds coming out of the weekend. Who's the first back you want to talk about?
Damian Pierce in Houston. You know, the Texans added him to a backfield with Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead, who, you know, feels inevitable, honestly, that Rex Burkhead is going to have 200 carries this year at some point. So, but, you know, Pierce was never a workhorse in college, but he was extremely productive and efficient on his limited touches, 6.5 yards per touch in his final season in college. So Nick Caserio, the GM for Houston today, Tuesday, said that Pierce is going to have to create his own role in the backfield. And so you have to brace yourself. If you're going to take him as a zero RB type guy, very late in drafts, you have to brace for old school coach Lovie Smith and old school culture obsessed Nick Caserio saying, hold up, he's a rookie, he's last in line. Like, you know, we're going to give the ball to this guy, we're going to give the ball to that guy. Pierce has to earn his stripes. Eventually, though, you would trust, well, gosh, with the Texans, you don't know, but you would hope against hope that his talent would rise to the level where he could climb the depth chart and become, you know, something of a fantasy option.
He's kind of coming into the league with what I would say is like a Kenyon Drake profile, where he was like a four-year contributor who could do a little bit of everything, but yeah, it was just never the featured guy. He finally, his season high for carries to Florida was 106. He actually never even reached 20 receptions in a season.
Yeah.
So it is it's a very strange resume, but he could do a little bit of everything. It's a backfield with very, very few impediments in front of him, like you said, other than the mindset. And you know, there's just, I totally agree, there's just no way this job will be like handed to him.
No, I mean,
nor should it be, but
he's gonna have to blow them away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm, and you know, just talking about this backfield, it might just be Marlon Mack. I mean,
the media is not actually talking about is Marlon Mack being on the Texans.
He was good. He used to be really good 2 years ago, not a long time ago. 2 years ago.
Well, 2 years and one Achilles tendon ago.
Ah, yes, I forgot.
Nevertheless, yeah, Rex Burkhead, Marlon Mack. I mean, Dare Ogunbowale is maybe on the Texans still. I'm not actually sure about that. I mean.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Okay. But not, yeah. So if he has a good camp, a good preseason, if he like dots his I's and crosses his T's, he could have a role from the get-go in the season. But he's like a classic zero B. You take him where like there's a plausible path to touches and upside, but also a plausible path to it not happening. Right.
Another zero RB option new to the league is I think Tyler Allgeier in Atlanta. You have Mike Davis being released by the Falcons on Monday. Allgeier has a pretty solid profile as a potential every down back. Now, you know, I've seen some chatter about, well, what about CPAT? What about Cordarrelle Patterson? I don't buy this idea that Patterson's going to be just reinserted into the role that we enjoyed. Because by the end of the season, he didn't have that role. He didn't have anything close to that role.
Okay? No, and they also like waited a really long time to re-sign him, where it seems like they decided, like, yeah, this was too good to be true, basically. Right.
Yeah, and so I don't really see him as an impediment. And we know that Arthur Smith loves to establish, and that is one thing we know. Curiously, though, the Falcons didn't have the lead a lot in 2021, but when they did, they were actually kind of pass heavy. They had the third highest pass rate while leading last year. I don't really know, you know, what that means for, you know, going forward, but Arthur Smith's history of play calling suggests that that's not exactly what he wants to do. So it could be a you know, run first, run heavy attack. Allgeier at the head of that could be valuable.
Are you going to be zero or being Damian Williams more or Tyler Allgeier more, Denny?
Probably Allgeier.
I think so too.
Yeah, Damian Williams is a little long in the tooth, as the kids tell me, and you know, a little bit far removed from his peak production. I'm not super interested.
Yeah, I mean, he just turned 30 years old and had the classic Damian Williams stuff. He's had more than 50 carries one time. He got just lapped by Khalil Herbert on the Bears last year behind David Montgomery. I mean, Damian Williams is the kind of guy, I mean, I don't even know if he'll make the 53-man roster.
Yeah, I didn't want to overstate it too much, but I think that's definitely a possibility that he will not have a team come week one.
Like, he's been, like, so near and dear to everyone's zero RB heart for so long that it's, like, very hard for people to quit him. But, yeah, I would not assume, like, I'd much rather bet on the rookie than Damian Williams.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, who is our third zero RB rookie?
Third guy is, and now I've lost the list. Oh, we have James Cook.
Captain James Cook, the famed British explorer, is back from the dead, now in the Bills backfield.
And he is in the Bills backfield. Now, Bills GM, I always want to say Billy Bean. It's not Billy Bean. It's Brandon Bean. Said on Tuesday that they see Cook as a, quote, sub back. Now, this means apparently a pass catching back. and he mentioned that.
To think that people think you're not a real football guy.
The Bills, it's shocking, really. The Bills, the Bills are absolutely heartbroken by J.D. McKissic getting away this offseason. It's all they've talked about since it happened.
Yeah, Brandon Bean, J.D. McKissic's had to change his phone number 3 times.
It's like, true. Stop. Stop. Please stop texting me, Billy.
Stop it.
That Brandon, sorry. and so of course, you know, right on schedule, Brandon Bean mentions, well, we didn't get McKissic, so we
want. Did he really do that?
Yeah, today, yeah. So James Cook, we see him as that sort of guy. He complimented his Cook's route running and everything. You know, I don't know if there's a lot of fantasy juice to be had in this Buffalo backfield. The Bills had the third highest pass rate over expected in 2021. Buffalo had a 56% pass rate while leading last year. That's the fourth highest in the league. And Josh Allen has never really targeted running backs in the pass game. 15% target share to running backs over his career, which is right in line with like Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. It's typical, basically, for a mobile quarterback not to dump it off to their running backs, like we talked about several times in the show. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm like prioritizing Singletary or Cook as guys, you know, who will emerge. Now, if they get the whole workload, like we saw with Singletary, that can be very valuable. But if they're splitting, that makes them both like basically not fantasy options.
Yeah, like you said, the Bills are one of the rare teams that are, I would say, far more likely to abandon the run than establish the run. Like, they like take great joy in abandoning the run. But it's so there's just like a lot going on here. They needed a more effective run game last season. Yeah. They didn't get an effective run game until they finally cut down on what oftentimes is a three-man committee and is committed to Devin Singletary and Josh Allen. Like, it was only then that they just kind of like cut out the committee nonsense. They had an effective running game at all, which I know is kind of like almost like superstition based, like, oh, this team, like, to just like blame running game struggles on committees. It probably doesn't actually make any sense, but there probably is also something said is like, keep the one guy out there. Just let him like gain confidence. Let them like, you know, get reps, like chemistry, I guess. And just like the running game is not effective basically. So they went down to only Devin Singletary. On the other hand, I can understand not wanting to go all in on Devin Singletary, but I just do think maybe that'll hang on there. Like, are they really going to try like force this committee to happen again, where it just didn't happen for 2 years between Zach Moss and Devin? They never, ever successfully deployed the committee approach with Zach Moss and Devin Singletary.
Right. So I think it's more likely that Devin Singletary takes on, you know, something resembling an every down role than it is for James Cook to take that on. James Cook was rarely used as a rusher in college, like really didn't see a whole lot of action in the running game, was primarily used as a pass catching back. Obviously the Bills are fixated on this idea of the back catching passes, which, by the way, Singletary does. He does that. Like, you know, they always, this drives me nuts in the draft. Good teams, good offensive teams spend, you know, draft capital at running back because it's called a luxury pick, right? We're like, we're good at tight end, we're good at quarterback, we're good at wide receiver. So what else do we do? What else? We gotta spend at the one position where we're not dominating.
You gotta go to the local high end mall, go into Neiman Marcus for some reason.
Yeah,
buy $1,000 Gucci shirt.
And that's what James Cook basically is. It's the $1,200 Gucci. I don't get it. I don't get it. Stop doing the luxury pick thing, teams, please.
It is true. And Devin Singletary. So do you think Devin Singletary, is he gonna be now like, is this going to be a classic where we read far too much into this draft pick and just like forget about Devin Singletary, or not forget, just like none of the sharps like want to touch Devin Singletary all summer basically? And do you think he will maybe become like a nice zero RB target as he has been in the past?
That's right. That's right. That's a great point. And I hope it happens. Now, Singletary right now is going in the eighth round, right around Chase Edmonds, Tony Pollard, and for some reason that I cannot understand, Raheem Mostert. Maybe with this pick, maybe with enough hype around James Cook in the summer and with some preseason run and everything, maybe Singletary, you know, conceivably drops into like the 10th round, maybe 11th round, something like that. I would be, you know, I'd be borderline thrilled to take Devin Singletary there if you are going in that zero RB direction.
I feel like by the time we're back to real drafts, like in the real redraft season, like, he's going to be like right back in like that, his ancestral home of like the 5th to 6th round, I think, Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, he is like he basically like created the dead zone, Devin Singletary.
And yeah.
He's like the quintessential RB dead zone back.
I take no pleasure in saying you're probably right.
So yeah, we'll see. But so then would you just be totally out on Devin Singletary if he's like a 6th round pick?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really see like the value in taking him there and then hoping that, you know, either Cook struggles or not hoping he gets hurt. I'm not saying that, but like if he got hurt,
jeez, kids listen to the show. Yeah,
producer, please edit this out.
I want people to see Denny's true character.
I've been exposed, but a 6th round pick is a bad bet on Singletary.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Was it a bad bet last year? I'll close the depth, like, because, like, man, Would you have been happy if you got Devin Singletary as a sixth round pick last year?
You had to wait 14, 15 weeks.
That's fine.
if you could get through those, then yeah, sure, I guess. Yeah. But yeah,
no, well, you're right.
It's the same. I mean, anybody who we draft in the, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth round who takes, you know, takes 3 months to get going, I don't know if that counts. I want to say your boy, David Montgomery, fits that bill.
Yeah, come on, man. Leave DeMont Nation out of this. And if you don't want something to take 3 months to get going, I mean, James Cook, like, to get from England to New Zealand, I mean, that's at least 4 or 5 months. So
you're hammering this joke. You won't leave it alone.
I almost said earlier that so what you're saying is he doesn't have his sea legs, Denny.
Oh man, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
so good. New Zealand is a long way from England out there on the old ocean. So I'm going to ask you, Denny, about two backfields before we leave. The Patriots, who are just addicted to this sort of thing, apparently drafted two more running backs over the weekend, including fourth round small school prospect Pierre Strong. He's kind of like a three down jackrabbit type at South Dakota State. He ran a 4.37 40 at the combine. What do you think this means for Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, James White? I mean, they have like five or six running backs, all of whom should have like legitimate shots at making the 53-man roster right now. Like, do you have any feel for what's going on in this Patriots backfield?
I think Ramondre Stevenson is really good. Like,
I do too.
I think that he's excellent. I think that, you know, Ivan Fears, who's been the running backs coach in New England for 150 years, said,
since the times of James Cook.
Right. He knew him. Said, you know, said as much last year. This kid is good, you know, and he just needs to, you know, get his head on straight or whatever old coaches say. And he flashed in the rare instances where he was given a chance to. So I guess I don't have any feel for like who the team wants to succeed or their plan. I don't think they know the plan. They don't even have an offensive coordinator. They have Matt Patricia coaching the offense, which is something.
It's quite something.
And, if I had to like lean any direction, I would say Stevenson because of his likely ADP compared to Damian Harris, who, you know, will not be cheap no matter what happens here. I mean, you have Damian Harris going in the fourth round right now, and no thank you to that.
Assuming Damian Harris though leads the backfield in touches, like who's gonna have the second most touches in this backfield? Ramondre Stevenson, James Harris,
right?
Or James White or option three?
I guess James White, the way that they have traditionally operated, but McDaniels is gone. McDaniels was the screen game guy. White is also coming back from I guess a catastrophic hip injury.
Yeah,
that he's still not. He's still not ready to, you know, to play, to work out, to participate in team activities. So his availability, I think will determine a lot about the direction of this backfield in the summer.
I will say Pierre Strong's selection like gives them the option to probably cut James White if he's not healthy in training camp. But then again, like the idea of Bill Belichick committing to like a rookie change of pace back, I feel like is almost 0%. So we'll just see. But he does seem like he's there in case James White can no longer be there. But yeah, he's not going to have Pierre Strong, a guy coming out at the FCS, like throwing blitz pickups in week 1.
I think it's going to be really hard with the Patriots drafting Tyquan Thornton and Strong. I think it's going to be really hard to like get excited about any Patriots player and for fantasy purposes this year.
Yeah, because it's the classic, like, when you have 8 number 4 receivers, you really have 0 number 4 receivers.
Yeah.
Because they have seriously like 8 number 4 type receivers.
And yep.
I've never seen anything quite like. I'm just going to go through it really quick. Nelson Agholor, Kenny Bourne. Is N'Keal Harry still on the team?
No.
Yeah. So. Jacoby Myers, Devontae Parker, Tyquan Thornton. My goodness.
Right, and like Thornton like cancels out Aguilar. Yeah, you know, like
there's a lot of canceling going on here.
And Parker is the same guy as Meyer.
Yeah, need a lot more free speech in this Patriots receiver core.
We're gonna need an influx of speech.
By the way, he actually is still on the team, N'Keal Harry.
No, oh man, I'm sorry. Wow, I've misinformed the listening public.
Elon is not going to like you spreading fake news.
Oh, I thought, wait, that's my right.
You're not spreading the kind of fake news he wants. You've been rebanned. Denny, I let myself believe in Rashad Penny after his hot finish last year for some reason. But what many feared all along, that it would be a mirage, it's probably safe to say it was confirmed as such after Seattle used the number 41 overall pick on who you could argue is the draft's best overall back in Michigan State's Kenneth Walker. We'll maybe talk about Walker a little bit, but is Penny zero RB now? Like, in a guy who finally put something amazing on film, like, will be probably close to free in drafts. Is he zero RB, or is Rashad Penny just like zero everything?
Well, first I want to hit you over the head with Rashad Penny's current ADP, which is 604.
Wow, that is high. Even higher than I would have not considered him there.
Seems rich to me.
My goodness.
The Athletic's Michael Sean Duggar, who is a very good plugged in beat writer for Seattle, he said this week that he could see Kenneth Walker starting multiple games, climbing the depth chart if he looks good in the summer, that they definitely did not draft him just because. They drafted him for a reason. They drafted him only the Seahawks, honestly, but they drafted him as a hedge against Chris Carson maybe not being able to play. But according to Duggar, Chris Carson would be the starter if he is healthy. Look, man, the Seahawks fans out there, I feel for you. I argue with you a lot online. I don't particularly love a lot of you, but you guys are down bad, real bad. To me, it's clear that the Seahawks fan base doesn't have any idea how down bad they are. And this pick of Walker was absolutely unforgivable on every level.
Leaders of the movement, like Ben Baldwin, Danny Kelly, I think they know.
Nina Kimes.
Yeah, they all know. But the forces in their armies do not know.
The armies have blindfolds on. They are marching behind Pete Carroll for some reason.
Geno Smith.
Folks, it's over. It's over for you. You're done. You're a 2-3 win team.
Anyway, they got to get Baker Mayfield. I can't believe I'm saying this. They have to get Baker Mayfield. Absolutely have to get Baker Mayfield.
So if Walker emerges and Penny drops to double digit rounds, yeah, sure. Definitely. I'm all about that. He was the most productive back in the league over the final 6 weeks of last season.
Yeah, I don't really care like what is said or what I read over the summer. I'm not going to take any Chris Carson talk.
Oh, no. Seriously. Oh, no.
There's no point. He's the number three back there now. And they should just get it over with. He should just be the backup on the Saints already. Like, just get it over with and be the backup on the Saints. That feels like where Chris Carson, like a classic Saints move, like a situation where Chris, if he can even play, you know.
Right. And I feel for him. That guy gave his body to the game and to the Seahawks. No one played with more passion than Chris Carson. And the team seems to be, hinting with this draft pick of Walker, hinting that the Carson era is over.
Yeah. Chris Carson is like, when he first started, people were like, wow, this guy runs angry. Like, hope he doesn't get hurt, and got hurt a lot because he ran very angry.
He did.
Yeah, just be more zen in your life.
Well, if you're a running back, here's what you do: you don't block, and you and you get out of bounds.
Yeah, don't ever block. No. Don't ever block unless you play for Bill Belichick, because then he'll just be because he won't cut you, but he will. He'll make you a healthy scratch every week.
Right. If you miss one block, it's happened with Stevenson. He missed one block, and he was a healthy scratch for three weeks.
Because you're not getting cut. You're not going anywhere better, but you're just not playing. Unreal. So if you're on the Patriots, you really do need to block. Otherwise, just don't block. That's it for today. I was going to try and make a pun there. I was like, don't block this show, folks. the puns weren't really working that well today, especially if you don't know who James Cook is.
Look it up. Open the Google tab and say James Cook not running back.
Yeah, the James Cook Wikipedia, I can assure you, is amazing and will take you down many, many amazing rabbit holes. So check out the Captain James Cook Wikipedia. Check out NBCSportsEdge.com, where we have tons of amazing post-draft content, including Danny mentioned our draft wrap-up show, which will be actionable for several weeks. Myself, Pat Corain, Kyle Dvorchik, and Denny. Really, really good stuff. Really good stuff going up on the site all week. I'm sure Denny has stuff coming out, as he always does.
I do. I'm churning them out. I have my veteran winners and losers from the draft. And then I have a deep ball passer column coming out on Thursday.
Yeah, awesome stuff. Especially the veterans, winners, and losers. Check that out for sure. I've been waiting for the deep ball article too. I've been wanting to read
that. I'm working on it. It turns out it's quite a bit of quite a heavy lift.
Yeah. And of course, we're going into draft guide season to take people behind the curtain. So hope you're prepared, Denny.
Mentally, I'm not. But
thank you so much for listening. For Denny, I am Pat. We will catch you later in the week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.